good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
One, two, three.
Good morning. Good morning.
G'day, thanks again for getting our preview edition of Queen Elizabeth Stakes Day at Randwick. Vince Accardi, compared to last week, how good is it knowing that we're going to have a really good track conditions?
Well, you know.
Goodish. Goodish.
Well, yeah, well, let's hope so. We're going to know straight away, right?
Yeah.
If they've been mucking around too much with the hoses or not. Hopefully they haven't. And the reality is, either way, even if they had to put some water on, whatever they had to do, I'm very confident we're still on summer tracks and it should be good by the time we get to race one or two.
All right. Well, as always, there's an accompaniment to your final edition of Race Speed Profile. So please open it up, read along with us. And the point you want to make and you reiterate from yesterday is that on pace, if you get straight into those lanes, you're going to be very much advantage and get your first crack at it if you're good enough today.
Absolutely. There's no question about that.
All right, race one. We didn't even touch it yesterday. And by looking at your IVR forecast there, minus 3.9, you won't be playing here. Miss Puds, Bustlinger, Broadzong, Just Party, the 300 are your most advantage.
Well, that's how it looks. There is the gap starts to really deteriorate once you get past that sort of top three or four that I've got scored there. Of course, I'm not saying one of those horses couldn't win that are outside of that, but the reality is you are looking at runners that are, 3 to 5 lengths below benchmark. But it'll be good to see how a horse like Just Parting and Broadside go in this race here. I do have an expectation they've got the right riders on board, and hopefully we'll get a good insight to the track.
Another race we didn't really get into yesterday was race two, 1400 listed race. Your most advantage here, Robrick, who had a bit of an RDO first up there in traffic in Sydney, but it's got the Estriella form. Races have been racing against older horses. Kandinsky Enstrap, he's good odds. I'll get your thoughts there. And Butch Cassidy. Well, I suppose, Vince, if Butch Cassidy can do what it did in the Golden Rose, it'll be winning, but that's the query. Can it reproduce that?
Well, this is correct. It's interesting, Robrick, in my view, that was a runner that I was half interested in from a betting perspective, but just where it's drawn and what Ben Mallum may have to do, and it's one of those tricky scenarios. You can easily get caught if more than a few horses want to sort of have a look up front, particularly if the track's racing good, and that has made me a little bit nervous about wanting to look at it. But this is a runner that pretty much has a benchmark profile at 1400 metres, Ralphie, from Flemington last campaign, pretty lightly raced. When I look at the performances this campaign, I did love that run second up at Flemington. So that's the issue, though. So right now I'm leaning like not to go there, but I haven't sort of made a final decision. But if it drawn 7 or 8, I probably would want to have something on that horse, Robrick. As far as Butch Cassidy goes, well, Ralphie, this is another horse. Of course, if it delivered that Rose Hill run today, there would be no discussion. The horse, I feel, just wins, right?
Yes.
So for those that are looking at it, obviously the yard's going to be very important. This was what I couldn't sort of work out with the horse. I just thought it was a huge mid-race squeeze and a bit more of a drop out over the last 400 metres than what I anticipated. So does that mean this horse still needs one more run? So that was my only question mark around the horse, but right rider, right stable.
All right, race three on the program here. We discussed this in depth yesterday, so just your final thoughts as far as Territory Express, Straight Acer. Well, Short Shorts is worth touching on, given it's such huge odds, and you brought in India Most Advantage along with Ausbred Flirt.
Yeah, I thought I wanted to bring both those horses in. First of all, Short Shorts, because being on pace, of course, it can get badly undone if there's just a big attack up front. Then that could be a real challenge. But this horse has an excellent 1400 metre profile, so I felt that it needed to be considered. And Ausbred Flirt is another runner that also has a very strong profile and drawn perfectly. The challenges for me, I had another good look at Territory Express, because usually what I do is when you're in these situations with this type of race, when they have that type of performance, like around that plus two range, and we're on or around that same distance, I tend to want to follow up and back those sort of horses. But this is what I can't overcome. It is a get back horse, Ralphie. So it might not find the lanes with Zach Lloyd. And I'm not saying I don't have no confidence in the trainer. I'm just not sure. It's not, doesn't have all the fashionable ticks for me, but it's a horse that I'm a little bit frustrated about because I sort of would like to back it, but I'm sitting here right now saying it's unlikely that I'm going to back it, which it means I'm staying out.
It's, as I was about to say, it's a staying out situation for you, but the either-or situation for our customers, basically you're saying is if you want to trust the trainer and you're not saying don't trust the trainer, you're saying it's an unknown. If you want to trust the trainer, he's the type of horse that profiles perfectly.
Yeah, and then it's just a matter of Zach Lloyd can get into the lanes because remember like we talked about yesterday, Ralphie, we've only got a handful of lanes to work with. You can easily miss it, right? And it's not... That doesn't make the rider bad. It's just easy to miss. That's all.
Yep, fair enough too. Lady of Camelot is the star filly coming back off, back in class, if you like, off the Golden Slipper. It's mid-twos odds. Will you be passing or playing here?
Well, here's the thing. On profiling form this race, this is an A-grade setup, right? The downside is has it peaked and is it done? That's the hard part, right? So now the way I look at it is like this. I've got it as a possibility. I want to see how it parades in the yard, but I'm downgrading my position to a C-grade bet because what's the possibility of a double peak, Ralphie? That's my issue that I have from a business point of view. But every other indicator, you know, and I'm definitely not considering weight as being an issue, right?
Yep.
Every other indicator says, man, it's just sensationally placed. Even the wide gate, it's just guaranteed to lob in the right spot with that rider.
Okay, race five on the program here. We discussed this in depth. Since yesterday, though, the market's identified a couple that you said you expect to run very well in Arkansas Kid and Jolly Star. As you said, you're going to upgrade Shorts to your most advantage, and then it becomes a case of do you expect Osmosis to run to its A grade in that setup? High threes is a good price if you're guaranteed that he's going to run to his best, of course.
And this is the thing, Ralphie. This is another sad case for me that – this is the type of horse I definitely would back, Osmosis. But because of that question mark, and we are talking money, and again, you know, I don't want to be rude. If you're having $10 on something, it's good entertainment. Take the risk, right?
Yep.
But when you're having substantially more and you're working at it from a different psychology, I can't take those risks. And it just means I could just be sitting on the sidelines and the horse wins, and I'm frustrated. And then there's horses like Arkansas Kid, Jolly Star, Swartz. They've all got ability and they're capable, but I would not back them against Osmosis if I was to bet in the race. I'm not saying that you shouldn't back him, right? But just the way it's set up, I always only want to be on the best horse where possible. And if I don't like what I see, I don't automatically go to the second best or the third best.
You're saying personally, you're not.
No, that's correct.
It's that simple. All right, the Oaks, again, we discussed this in depth yesterday. You've ended up putting most advantages are dozy, and that tells me that at $5 you're going to be playing with the place on side.
Well, the way I look at it is like this, Ralphie. If there's any confidence, unless this horse got injured, you know, getting to the track or whatever, I'm a lock-in for this horse. I'm, you know, got a high level of confidence, an A-grade play for me. I definitely want to back the horse, and this is the one horse today that I'm really happy about, that at least I've identified at least one for myself. And it's I'm still trying to work out what I've done wrong because the price is way too good.
Lovely. All right. Sydney Cup, we discussed this yesterday. Carlepore, Athabasca, and Ash Run has got the Tancred form. Circle of Fire on the quick backup, and there you're four with your most advantage.
Correct. I can't go there from a betting point of view. I'm looking forward to watching it. If I was doing quaddies, which I don't do, Ralphie, yes, I'd be putting all those in.
You've got, and the other ones to use on your chart there, you've got Mad's Oyce, Ash Run, what else you got? Serpentine, mostly cloudy. Yeah, that's what you're saying. You're saying there's multiple chances that's the Sydney Cup for you.
Yeah, it's I'm not that good, Ralphie.
Yep.
When it comes to money, that is, yeah, not that good. Yep.
All right, well, the either-or play for you, Pride of Jetty vs. Estida. Of course, you got Cascadian there in the most advantage on what he did in the Australian Cup, and we discussed that Lindemann is a good option for taking multis.
this is another heartache for me. And here's my heartache. The setup looks fantastic for betting, but this is my psychology on how I'm looking at it. And I like to look at all the ugly things as well as the positive, because I am a very positive individual. And most things I do in life is all about being positive, because it just radiates the right energy. Prior to Jenny, have I missed the boat, Ralphie? Did the Horse Peak last start? I'm just so worried, right? So got the right stable. This is going to be a very hard horse to run down. If I go that way, it'll be a C-grade bet at Boast. Now, I can't really split that or Via Sestina. Now, Via Sestina is the better runner, but right now in Australia, it's behind Pride of Jenny, no matter how I look at it, right? And this is what I have to take into consideration. But then Via Sestina, I was looking at the market this morning. I'd say if I want to go that way, I'm going to be able to get on, because there's already $1.28 on the fixed, and I'm fairly confident it's going to get to $1.30 if I want to go there. But I am nervous still about second up, Ralphie.
And as we've discussed, second up into what will be and this is a lock-in, what will be a monster change of speed for her, given what she did first up.
So yep. I'm sitting here right now undecided about whether I'm going to go one way or another, or do I stay out? I just haven't gotten there yet.
Okay. Queen of the Turf, you were very bullish yesterday when her tissue was $5. It's now mid-4s, so we always like seeing the greater good going with our Friday thoughts. Sue Gotcha, of course, remains favourite. The other stablemate, Alentia, is in the market at $8, and further out, Tropical Squall, there you're four in your most advantage.
Well, what I am confident of, I have a good level of confidence one of those four are going to win.
Yep.
That's why I've marked it borderline high. My challenge now is from a business point of view. Nothing's changed about a tissue with me from yesterday. I would have liked more scratchings, of course. That could have made my life easier, right, in terms of just being absolutely assured no challenges. But we are having a horse that's going to Sydney, was the grand final last start. Is this an afterthought or not? This is with a tissue, right? And we've got the draw to deal with. Then I looked at Zoo Got You. I went and had another close look at it. There's not a lot between the two, but Zoo Got You's on an upward spiral. It's also drawn inside, Ralphie, so it has challenges there as well. So who's going to do what? Is Blake going to be following James, or is James going to be following Blake? I don't know, right, what these two boys are going to do, but they're both going to be looking to push out in the straight. And I haven't made a decision, but that's where I am right now. I am dead set locked in with those two horses and trying to make some understanding about what am I going to do. Now, Alentia, could that just jump out of the ground and smash us? Yes. Now, what happens if it's really hard to make ground and Tropical Score or that Samana just, you know, keep leading till the end? They are all possibilities. But in terms of the class runners, I am definitely of the view that a tissue is the best horse, but did it peak last start? Like, is this an afterthought? And what's going to happen? And then Zoo Got You is trending upwards, and I don't have a ceiling on the horse. So I sit here and say, I've got to make a decision between one of those two.
Yesterday we said, one of the few, I suppose, we've identified that if they bring their A-game, they should be very, very hard to beat, and that is Red Card. You've got no queries about it at 1,200. You've put down moderate confidence from Tashi, Wee Nessie, and Sal Tear. What's your final thoughts, Race Morning?
Well, that's how it looks. The challenge will be for me, do I want to bet by the time I get to the end of the day? And that's going to be determined by what I'm doing earlier in the day and whether I'm sitting sidelines. See, if I'm sitting sidelines, it's hard for me to get excited. If I'm really active, then I probably have enough, like, with just the way I like to work. And the way I like to work is like this, Ralphie, is I have 60 units to work with for the day, and basically I'm not going to Bendigo. I'm unlikely to go to Ascot this week, but I may go to South Australia. So that's going to determine what's going to happen with me. And so I'm sitting here saying I may not have the funds, and I may not have enough engagement to want to bet in the last race. But Red Card, hard to fault.
Okay, so really, Race Morning, you're locked in, ears back as Sardozy.
Yeah, that's it. Side,
and the others is pretty much mounting yard dependent.
And I, like I said, I'm a very boring guy, but it's all about surviving to make money.
Yep.
And, you know, building a bank slowly. And if you just have the one bet Zardosi and that's the way you like to feel and you want to be super conservative, you're going to be really unlucky if you don't get the money.
Nice. Okay, once again, we really appreciate you being a customer of year-round carnival, and whatever happens, we'll pull it all apart on Monday, but best luck with your place. Good morning. Hustlers, that's if you're still living. Get on down. Every time that we hit them, good morning. Hustlers.